Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Commander starting wide receiver one, Terry McLaurin is on the show. Looking forward to that conversation today. Danny, we are back together in the air-conditioned studios on the Navy Yards Half Street. What's up, dude?
Yes, indeed, my friend. The kids are back in school. Until there's like, you know, 9 days off or various half days or things, but it is a glorious time. My time is my own again, at least a little bit once they're off to school, but it is fantastic. Good to be seen by you.
Danny loves his kids not being at his house.
Yes, when it's constructive, when it's the right thing. Again, it's hard to be an opponent to my viewpoint on this one. I don't care where you are on the spectrum. And listen, I agree with all of you, and you know who's bad is the other team. Kids should be in school. That's not a profound position. That's not a crazy, lunatic position. That's not some fringe thing where I'm trying to argue some uphill case. This is a good one. We can all kind of get on board with this one. It's a weekday. They got to go. Otherwise, it's just a mad scramble. It's devices. It's angry feelings. It's people annoyed. And my time isn't my own. Now it's the way it should be. I'll see them. I can't wait to see him. End of every day, it's the best. But during that day, get in that building.
My little guy's back at school as well.
Love it.
And thoroughly enjoying themselves into week two at this point. But you know who's not packing their lunch and getting back to work is Will Harris. He was cut today by the Commanders. We actually speculated on the show last week that he would be out at the safety position. And the reason that that happened was it just, to me, became pretty obvious, frankly. He was not running special teams. First or second team drills very often. How do you keep a safety who's not a starter, and he was not a starter for much of camp because that was pretty frequently Nick Cross and Jeremy Reeves. And so if those two guys are your starters and then the competition behind them includes Tyler Owens, who's more athletic, more speedy, more physical, better on special teams, Quan Martin, who's got two picks and two preseason games and does more on special teams, how does Will Harris fit in here unless you keep six safeties? So I was kind of thinking he wasn't going to make it. I'm very surprised that they cut him as early as today. But maybe this is indicative, Danny, of them deciding that he was not going to be in. And because he's a 31-year-old veteran who's been around the NFL, you give him a head start before everyone else cuts everybody on Sunday to try to go find a home. But this will be, whoever he signs with coming up, will be his fourth team in 4 years. He was with the Lions for five seasons. And in that fifth season in 2023, plays in all 17 games, starts two. Then he goes to the Saints as a full-time starter. Then he goes to Washington, started nine games last year. So this will be team four in 4 years, which is telling.
It is. And the other part of it that I want to hold on to, like a dog with a bone, is remember last year, please. I beg all of you to remember last year when we heard a bunch that, well, losing Will Harris was a bridge too far. He's indispensable. The secondary can't go on. We don't have Will Harris. We can't communicate. We can't possibly figure it out. The whole thing's in disarray. This indispensable player, what's that? He's dispensable. He's been cut. And it ain't because they went and signed, you know, Troy Polamalu. Now, I know Nick Cross is new, and I'm excited about him. I think he's going to have a really good season. But they didn't go sign Ed Reed in his prime here. It's internal options like Jeremy Reeves and Quan Martin and Percy Butler and Tyler Owens that beat him out. So, I don't know. It's just something that I won't easily forget. But yeah, this is the right call in terms of a football thing, calling balls and strikes. He wasn't really going to be part of their plans. He was sixth out of a position that might keep five, maybe four, but you know, one guy's going to be kind of a hybrid, no one's and special teams players. Maybe they're more that than they are safeties that are in the mix, but he's outside looking in. So this certainly makes sense to me.
Yeah, that was definitely part of the rhetoric last year out of the building. I mean, there's no denying that. They made it seem like the injury to Will Harris and his lack of leadership that he could provide because he wasn't on the field was one of the biggest problems in the secondary and maybe more largely their defense. Hard to square that.
Yeah, I don't believe that is what I'm saying.
Him having been the sixth guy. I think it's possible, though, that it is true. Last year's roster construction was different. The scheme you were playing was different. They were asking different things from the safety position, especially in the old Dan Quinn defense than you are in a Durante Jones defense. And so maybe he was a better fit for that. And they didn't have as many veterans. They didn't have a Cross, right? So you needed someone who could get everyone on the same page. You didn't have the green dot situation you do now. It was Bobby Wagner last year who was kind of in charge of everything in the front seven. This year, they've talked about maybe even occasionally having a DB handle some of those responsibilities because of how much guys are moving around and flying around and blitzing. And maybe there's a fatigue or a wear and tear there where guys are on and off the field at linebacker as part of a rotation. So maybe a DB wears that green dot. So a lot has changed. It's possible that he really was important. And if he was healthy, I'm sure they would have been a little bit better on defense. But it's not a great look for the camp of people that thought his injury was one of the biggest the team dealt with last year. My point was always the guy signed for $3 million. And you could say this about Nick Cross, too, who got a couple million bucks to come here, who I actually think is going to be exceptional.
Yeah, I like him.
And it's going to be one of the better signings they made this offseason because I think he's going to make a ton of tackles. Last couple of years, he's been 100-tackle safety. He's always around the ball. He's fast. He's violent. He's physical. But Will Harris, there wasn't a line of 11 teams bidding to get him. You know, it was fourth team in 4 years, and you got him for a couple million bucks.
Well, this is why when the just wait till Allegretti comes back and has two consecutive practices. Just wait. When once Allegretti's here, it'll be fine. Which guy? The journeyman guard that's now going to play center for, you know, it'll be his third start at center if and when he does. Come on. It's kind of my same feeling about that, where we're now, because he's missing, we act like this was the critical brick in the Jenga build. Right, this wasn't.
I mean, well,
this
he's is a lot better than anybody else they have, so both can be true. I mean,
I suppose
if Nick Allegretti was healthy, you wouldn't be as perilous right now at the center position, and things wouldn't be as ominous as they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a guy about to make $30 million like the Raiders do.
Yeah, the idea though that we can't live without it is again just means your plan's bad. So it's a lot to me. It was last year. A lot of the guys that they are counting on this year: Kinlaw, Payne, Luvu, Reeves, Sanristil, Amos, Quan Martin to a degree, they were all there. And, you know, the idea that, well, Will Harris is gone, so now we can't even, field the functioning defense, that doesn't hold water to me, especially given today.
I wonder how much of it, too, is they are way deeper at cornerback than they have been previously. And you're going to ask less, I think, of safeties playing and covering in the nickel. And you're more traditionally going to, you know, either be in the box making plays coming downhill in the run game or playing some center field, which I never really thought was a strength of Harris's anyway. But they didn't have like an Amik Robertson necessarily a year ago, who's a super hands-on you physical nickelback, if you will. They did not have even like, I think Rasul Douglas, he dropped an interception that should have been right in his hands today at practice. But I actually think he's been excellent in camp. So I like their corners more. I actually think you could maybe keep an extra corner if they wanted to do that, which also makes safety a little bit more susceptible. But it was just interesting to me to see how surprised people were by that. But that's always a good reminder for me when I'm out at practice every day and you're watching, you know, who's running with the first team and the second team, and you're watching who's doing special team stuff or not, that you're in the bubble. Like, you feel like everyone's seeing what you're seeing or kind of has the same vibe you do. And that's just not how it goes. A lot of people are checking in every few days going, wait, that guy was a starter last year. He was a lock to be on the team when it was clearly trending for about 2 weeks. Like, Will Harris was not going to be on the team. There was also a moment in the press conference today where Dan Quinn was asked, what player at camp has had the most impressive last couple of weeks? And I think the way Nikki Javala may have actually phrased the question was, what player at camp has surprised you or impressed you the most? And his answer was Quan Martin, which is a little bit surprising and strange to me. Because early in training camp, I got to say, like, I would not have had Quan Martin on a list like that. I think that is maybe related to the fact that he's got two picks in two preseason games, and, like, that result has been there very obviously to see him make plays.
Right.
He's probably finished camp strong in their film evaluation, I'm sure. But I wonder how much that was also just, they announced the Will Harris release, like, 25 minutes after that, and he wasn't at practice today. If that wasn't part of the
feels maybe calculated
effect,
yeah,
where he's like, okay, we're cutting Will Harris. I got a chance to single someone out. Let's talk about the confidence we have in the guy that made the team over him, Quan Martin, who is a bubble player that is now squarely in as potentially the fifth safety, because I just think Owens is going to do so much on special teams, might play some defense, that maybe Martin's actually the last safety in, not Tyler Owens.
That's how I view it. But again, that's my own kind of Martin bias.
Did you see him blow up that running back
from
the
Lions? Yes, I did. On the pass pro.
I love that. Like, you didn't have to do that. That man's got a family.
That's right.
It's just football.
Yeah.
The old, I'm not supposed to say his name anymore, but their old defensive coordinator, you know who I'm talking about?
Who, old Dust Up?
No, not that one. More recently.
Joe Witt?
No, him. Yep.
That one. Yeah.
But we don't say his name on the show.
Oh, sorry.
Anymore.
My fault.
Yeah.
Whose name don't we say?
A couple of them, apparently, because I forgot about old Dust Up. But arrive violently.
Uh-huh.
That was his saying.
He did say that.
That was a Tyler Owens arriving violently moment.
That's right. He arrived violently. The ball was light, but he didn't get it on that play, but that was still fun.
If you blow a dude up like that, you have my attention, sir.
Yeah.
The way that we live is not for everybody.
Yeah, keep that clip close by. Because even though I'm not going to say his name on the show anymore, uh-huh. we can still play some of his clips because they're super fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not. All right. Because we're going to run and put our bodies on people in a violent manner.
Well, the only thing true about that was you're right. The way you play is not for everybody.
It is not for many people.
Like my eyes.
Because the ball is life.
Like people that like this team, it wasn't for them.
How much did they die last year? If the ball is life.
They're starving.
How much death was there?
I mean, dehydrated and starving in the desert, staring up at that hot sun.
If the ball is water and football games are deserts, we're cooked.
The canteen's empty.
We're just...
Them and the Jets are just dead.
Army crawling. The craziest stat in the history of the NFL, by the way. Most of you have probably heard this before. But last year, the New York Jets, in 17 games, did not intercept one pass.
That's not true.
Think about that.
One.
How is that possible?
One.
68 quarters, they did not intercept one pass. As a team. And Washington tried their best not to, but they accidentally did a few times. The Jets successfully never intercepted one pass. The ball is life.
Again, I've never. Washington had eight. I don't remember eight. They picked off eight passes?
Eight.
You sure about that?
Mikey Sanders still had four by himself, I think. Or
I
close.
Guess.
He was made a couple plays on the goal line, I remember. But you know what I have noticed, if we want to go with a positive from the first few preseason games? And it's a result thing, not a process.
The turnovers
thing.
Are there.
They are generating some takeaways.
Yes.
They had the three picks of guys that won't be on the Miami Dolphins. I know it's backup quarterbacks, whatever, but they're making the plays.
Yes.
And then the second play with starters on the field, or as many of them as were healthy, against the Lions' second team or whatever that was.
Yep.
They get a sack fumble touchdown. So you're talking about two plays into your second preseason game, you've already got four takeaways.
Yeah. They forced the interception on the next drive. Like things are happening. The turnovers are there. Again, just have one leg to stand on. Do something instead of doing nothing. You gave up a lot of yards. You gave up a lot of points. And you didn't turn anybody over. Ladies and gentlemen, last year's Washington football team.
Real quick before we move on from some news and notes from camp today. So you heard Will Harris is out. Safety position looks like we've now figured out who's going to be in, who's going to be out. I thought this was interesting. I wanted to play this clip. Dan Quinn's press conference before practice today. I have not for one second considered the possibility that Adafe Owe wouldn't play in the opener, who's dealing with an injury and hasn't practiced in a couple of weeks, but it was kind of described as days, not weeks, with Adafe Owe. Similarly, when Trey Amos got hurt the first time, it was always so imminent that he was going to return that I haven't really properly calibrated that maybe he wouldn't be out there as their cornerback one against the Philadelphia Eagles and Devontae Smith. And today, in his press conference, John Keim asked Dan Quinn about those two guys and how sure Quinn is that they're going to be ready to start the season. And he was completely noncommittal in his answer. So there's a couple reasons you would do that, but listen to the audio first.
Yeah, I'd say I'll have a better answer for that into next week, John, as we get ready for those practices. We're fortunate that we have, you know, that space in between. They're both working hard and making progress, but... I don't know if I'd have a number to gauge it just yet. And so that would be kind of my time that I'll have a better sense.
That bothered me. And what I mean by that is, that was the first time that I've gotten nervous. Like, wait a second. Is Adafe Owe maybe not going to play against the Eagles in his debut with the team after getting $100 million? Wait a second. Is Trey Amos, who you're counting on as cornerback one, who's missed all of training camp, is this foot thing going to linger into September now? There's two possibilities here, and I want to see which one you kind of think this is. Number one is he could be in regular season injury update mode. I'm not going to tell you anything. And we know he is to some extent because he's not saying how much guys are going to play in preseason games, kind of drags this out.
Yeah, they're doing that, yeah.
They're like pretending like they need to keep everything close to the vest. So it could be as simple as they know right now, Owe is going to practice middle of next week, but he's not willing to tell you yet. It's very possible, and I hope that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is they actually might be 2-3 weeks away, or let's say 1.5-2 weeks away, which now puts you in jeopardy of missing week one. And I don't know which one it is, but both are on the table. What you could easily do, if you know for a fact that Owe and Amos from a timeline standpoint, are supposed to be back in time. Two of your key starters, most important defensive starters,
yeah,
for the week one against the Eagles. You could just not make that a thing, not make that a story, and come out and say, yeah, those guys are totally expected to be ready for the start of the year. We got a lot of time between now and then. Still got a few weeks. We'll get them up to speed. We're not worried about that. And that's no harm, no foul. Why wouldn't you do that? Unless you're not sure that they
unless
will be
back. Dubious. Yeah, unless it's, we'll know more later. Oh, no. So, again, it's not quite mid-teens nationals for me in terms of what they say about injuries. I just frankly don't believe and assume whatever the worst-case scenario is, I add a month to it. I mean, that's where they were at that point. The organization was doing a lot right. That was not one thing.
The Nats you're talking about.
The Nats. We're not quite there for this Local 53 just yet. But I'm now kind of starting to do that. I mean, guys have been day-to-day for the entirety of training camp, which I guess ended officially today, right? There's a preseason game left. There's a joint practice left. But the act of training camp today is over. And there are guys that were supposed to be here a million times over that just simply haven't been. Al O'Grady practiced one time and had to go right back to the tent and hasn't been seen since. I mean, he's a ghost. A lot of these guys are. So I kind of am defaulting towards either they don't know, which happens. Injuries can be flighty and kind of hard to predict in certain cases. Or they are now, as you said, kind of in full regular season mode where their near futures are dubious.
I would always lean into, if I know a guy's going to be ready, especially in the preseason, it's not like you're giving away the answers in week four before a game. But this far out from the start of the year, I would just quell concerns, try to not make anything a story. And also with the injury stuff piling up around you right now, every answer is important because just the entire feel of it all right now, the mojo is not great because you've got 20-plus guys that aren't going to be participating.
It feels like a bit of a mudslide right now. You could put a stop to that.
So you could just say, no, listen, guys. I know we got a lot of dudes banged up. It's affected our practice schedule. It affects what we're able to get done in Baltimore in the joint practice. Not ideal. No one's saying it is. But the only guys that are out for a really long time here are Laremy Tunsil and Johnny Newton. And otherwise, we got a pretty good beat on everything else, and guys are going to be back really early into the season. Let's not make this a bigger deal than it is. And I would just pour the cold water on it, ALS Ice Bucket Challenge style. But Dan Quinn doesn't seem wanting to do that. And the question, I guess, is it more stylistically that he's just not going to give that information? Or might they not know or fear that it is possible that those guys are not back for the first week of the season? And I hadn't really considered that until today. So that, to me, was a bummer to not hear him come right out and go, yeah, Oway's going to play in week one. Yeah, we think Amos is going to be back. They haven't really updated those guys. The other one we don't have a timeline on yet, that now I'm interested in after what he said today, was Bill. So I was at the practice Thursday before they flew to Detroit.
Yep.
And if you remember, I told you, I saw him come up lame. He kind of grabbed his leg. And I thought it was like quad, hammy. I'm not a person that knows leg muscles. Maybe groin. But then he was like limping off the field a little bit. And it was obvious enough that I said there's no way he's going to play Saturday because you wouldn't push him for a preseason game that you don't care that much about. But I also don't know, is that going to feel better in 3 hours or is that a month? And we don't know yet.
Right.
But he said today, Quinn did, that Bill basically isn't doing anything this week. So that gets you through the Ravens practice tomorrow. No Bill. That gets you through the preseason game Friday. He wouldn't be able to play in that.
Right.
And now you're done with all of the ramp up.
And you got 2 weeks until the game.
It's just the 2 weeks of game prep. And Bill is easing back in at that point. Rashad White's already been hurt. Hadn't really been doing a whole lot. Jeremy McNichols is hurt.
That's another one. It's very, he's away. Yeah.
That one, at least they've said, is weeks, not days.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the only ones they've said that about, though. He's more in the Mariota. It's like,
yeah, so that means months.
The two guys that are out months. Then it's Mariota and McNichols are the weeks. And then everyone else we thought was days. But
it's been a month.
Kind of turned into that.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy with Owe we were talking about? That's turned Amos.
Amos.
That's turned into that. It's a lot to keep straight, man. There's just a lot. For a team that decided, like, we're not going to push it that hard so that we can keep everybody healthy, they got a lot of guys that aren't healthy.
I know. And it's one of those, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of things, where if you actually ramp up as hard maybe as you might need to, you might have more of these. You might have more of these kinds of stories. The flip side is they seem to be happening anyway without the ramping up. So I kind of don't, there's no good answer here. To me, it seems like, given the data we've got now, this is hindsight, I would have gone, our guys, for whatever reason, are dropping like flies. We have to get whoever's ready, actually ready. So maybe let's go a little bit harder. But again, I understand like where you're going, we need all these guys to practice. We need the bodies. We need the reps. And we can't do it because We can't ramp up the intensity because guys are getting hurt and missing not just days like we thought, but weeks. Because that's really what this is. If you tell me day to day, I expect day to day, and it hasn't been on a number of these guys. That's what's frustrating.
Yeah, maybe that's why he doesn't want to give timetables at this point. At the start of the conversation, I'm kind of giving him some guff because he's not telling you when guys come back. And you're going, well, if you tell me, you better tell me right. And maybe that's the problem.
Maybe it's that.
They've been wrong enough that he's like, all right, guys, I'm done with this. You know, I'm not going to be guessing anymore because it's made me look bad. What do we feel best and worst about with this roster? Let's get into that next, and we can open up the phones on this as well. You guys are starting to see the roster come into shape. You're seeing some of the injuries and clusters that they've had as well. We've seen what probably will be the last of the starters in the preseason, one more joint practice against the Ravens tomorrow. What area of this team do you feel best about, and what do you feel worst about? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.